This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Gavin Newsom up to with this podcast of his?
And for the first time, I think he's not running for president, because this was either the worst rollout for a presidential campaign in history, or it's one of the most brilliant rollouts for a media company.
It's March 12th. This is the LA Local, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm Alex Silverman. Also coming, the rain.
Are you worried about the storm?
You could always have to be a little bit worried about the storm, right? In the last one, we had a lot of mud come down into the canyon, about 3 or 4 feet.
And everyone agrees with this, right?
It's important when we give alerts that they're credible.
But nobody wants to take responsibility for what didn't happen in Altadena. It's all ahead, but first, this. Hey there, if you're listening to this in an article on KNXnews.com, please take a second, go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to shows, search for the LA Local, hit the follow button. You'll get the show on your phone every weekday afternoon. Everything you need to know that's happening in Southern California in just about 10 minutes every day on the LA Local. One of the big questions the past few weeks in California is, what is Gavin Newsom thinking with the launch of his podcast, where the first guests are some of the most diehard members of the MAGA movement? Charlie Kirk.
I revere sports, and so the issue of fairness is completely legit. And I saw that the last couple of years. Boy, did I saw how you guys were able to weaponize that issue at another level.
Not weaponize. Don't. That's
well, weaponize may be pejorative. You're right. But you were able to
shine a light on?
Highlight it.
Michael Savage, a guy who once got fired from MSNBC for telling a gay caller to get AIDS and die, to now Steve Bannon. Or Jonathan Service talked with Republican political analyst Mike Madrid, who has a really interesting perspective on what Newsom is doing here. And he doesn't think it's about a run in 2028.
And for the first time, I think he's not running for president, because this was either the worst rollout for a presidential campaign in history, or it's one of the most brilliant rollouts for a media company going forward. And that's ultimately what I think he's doing.
Really? Okay, wait, elaborate on that, because, I mean, the conventional wisdom is he starts doing this, he makes a point of talking to pretty diehard MAGA Republicans, all in this effort to set himself up as a guy in the middle, a guy who can bridge the gap between Democrats and the MAGA movement, can talk to real Americans, et cetera, et cetera. But you say no way he's running.
I think it's highly unlikely. And anybody may, anything's going to happen in politics today. But I would say this is a man who has defined his entire political career by aiming to the very far left of the progressive spectrum to define his political ambitions. Let's remember, he's the person who began, marrying same-sex marriage couples in the early 2000s. As the mayor of San Francisco, which catapulted him to national prominence. Gavin Newsom has defined the cultural left, and he's done a good job of winning it. Why at that moment would he do a 180-degree turn and undermine that entire brand and that effort to run for president, especially when the time calls for a defense of those issues? Now, I suppose the idea that he could be a centrist would be found on economic issues. That's what the electorate was saying. By and large, it's the economy that drove this the outcomes of this election. There's obviously a fixation on trans issues and marriage equality issues and gay rights, but that has always defined Gavin Newsom. To somehow think that at the 1 yard line you can fumble the ball and still win the game makes absolutely no sense. And this is a man who is a generational talent. You don't get as far as he has gotten by being sloppy, silly, or not knowing what you're doing, despite what his enemies say. This is a very sophisticated operator. So I don't believe for a moment that this is a rollout to say, I'm now centrist. He knows perhaps better than anybody that MAGA is never going to view him as one of them, that somehow this is going to redefine him as a centrist. That's not going to happen. And in fact, most of the areas, like the election denial stuff and not pushing back on Steve Bannon, Steve Bannon is not a centrist figure. He's not a moderate figure. He's trying to ingratiate himself in a media environment that has changed 180 degrees since he became governor. That's what this is about.
It's fine to have congenial, calm conversations where you're diametrically opposed politically. In fact, I mean, you can argue that those are few and far between in American political discourse these days. We should be having those types of conversations. But you also got to push back on, you know, Trump won in 2020. So my original question was, what the hell is he think? How does that work politically? But again, you're saying it's not about politics.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I wrote a Substack on called "What the Hell Is Gavin Newsom Doing?" I disagree a little bit with what you're saying. I don't think that you can have a normal, reasonable discussion about whether or not the 2020 election was stolen. There's no middle ground on that. There's no evidence suggesting it was stolen. If somebody believes that, there's no reasonable discussion to be had. I think what he's doing is he's saying, fine, hang on to your fantasies, hang on to your illusions. Let's continue a conversation on places where we can have those discussions. If people want to fight tit for tat on absolutely everything, then that leads us to 2024 in America, where nothing is going to get done. So make no mistake, this is not Gavin Newsom trying to find common ground with Steve Bannon. What he's doing, I think, brilliantly is this. Most people believe that the left wing controls the American media ecosystem. That is no longer the case. By a wide measure, it is right wing folks like Fox News, Rupert Murdoch, Elon Musk owning Twitter. The Los Angeles Times has moved decisively right, as has the Washington Post. The right wing controls the media. What he's doing very eloquently and, again, brilliantly, is going into that ecosystem and engaging it on its ground.
Interesting perspective on what Gavin Newsom is up to from Republican strategist, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Mike Madrid. Nobody seems to want to take responsibility for the fact that people in Western Altadena were not alerted until long after the fire was burning out of control. Two county officials tell the LA Times it's not county emergency management's fault. They claim county fire or sheriff's officials failed to set the alerts in motion. This comes after the software company says it wasn't to blame either. LA County Supervisor Catherine Barger, who represents the area, tells KCAL News she is not pointing any fingers at this stage. She wants all the facts in the report.
I'm not going to place blame on anybody or any entity right now, because we've got a report that's going to be coming in from an independent outside consultant that's going to really address what happened, but also what we need to fix moving forward. It's important when we give alerts that they're credible. And it's obvious that there was a breakdown somewhere, and I'm going to reserve judgment till I hear from someone from the outside that's going to really dig down deep.
But that's not stopping others from pointing fingers. The emergency management team says they weren't told to send the alert until right before 3:30 a.m. on Wednesday, January 8th. That was 9 hours after the Eaton fire started around 6 p.m. on the 7th. A half hour after that, emergency management issued its first public alert only to the eastern parts of Altadena and Pasadena. And I remember very clearly we were talking about Lake Avenue being the western boundary of the evacuation area. Well, all 17 deaths happened west of Lake Avenue. More rain is coming, and it's getting heavier over the next few days. People in Sierra Madre are concerned. Officials there have already issued evacuation warnings and orders. Our John Baird was out there talking to Sherry and Laura, who are close to the mountains.
Are you worried about this storm?
You always have to be a little bit worried about the storm, right? In the last one, we had a lot of mud come down into the canyon, about 3 or 4 feet of mud that came down. So, yeah, there's always a concern. And
Is your house in the danger zone?
So we are in a mandatory evacuation order right now. So all of the canyon is in a mandatory evacuation order. So until tomorrow at 6 p.m., I believe.
Are you going to get out?
We'll do what the city tells us to do. So, yes.
Okay. And how about you?
Same. I think that the uncertainty is the hardest part, but it's just safer to go. Yeah.
Coverage of the storm, as we hope you know, 97.1 FM. Ask your smart speaker to play KNX News. Get the Odyssey app. Search for KNX News. Nonstop coverage there. The sea lion situation is getting bad. They've now found more than 70 of them sick or dead from the toxic algae bloom off the coast of Southern California. And dozens are being treated at the Marine Mammal Care Center in San Pedro.
This is the fourth year in a row there's been a toxic algae bloom of domoic acid off the coast, which is unprecedented. Many of the sick sea lions are pregnant females who miscarried their pups.
Lots of animals with pretty severe symptoms of domoic acid, meaning they probably ingested quite a bit of the toxin, and we're not sure if it's just the amount of food that they ate with the domoic acid in it or whether the toxicity level of the algae is higher than we've normally seen.
John Warner is the CEO of the Marine Mammal Care Center in San Pedro. He says also at least 8 dolphins have washed ashore.
There have been about a 30% mortality rate with this particular event.
The algae bloom could continue for weeks. It's unclear. Anyone who sees a sea lion acting lethargic, having jerky movements, or behaving oddly is urged to call the Marine Mammal Care Center at 800-39-WHALE. Do not go near it because sick sea lions can be unpredictably aggressive.
That's Emily Valdez. And that's the LA Local for this 12th of March, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. See the inventory, all 12 dealerships, at lacarguy.com. We're back tomorrow. I'm Alex Silverman. See you.